In the same way, it is by being immersed or baptized into Jesus that we enter into him, just like Noah entered into the ark. And when we pass through the waters, which symbolize death and judgment, we are kept safe and cross over to the other side. Not because we're in the water, but because we're in Christ. We're in the ark. Romans 6, verse 3 to 4, Paul writes, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Let's recap. The waters of the flood represent death, and the dry earth after the flood represents life after death. This is why here in Romans, Paul said that when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized into his death. Whomever and whatever the flood waters touched died. The flood waters never touched Noah, but they did touch the ark. Noah was inside the ark. So when you're baptized, it basically means that you are safe inside Jesus. He died your death, and you're safe inside him. And he will carry you over from this life through death into eternal life. In the same way, because you're inside of Christ, you have actually crossed over from death to life already. In other words, because he rose from the dead and you are in him, you are already living eternal life from the day that you believed into him. John 5 verse 24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes into him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment." So you're either into him or you're into judgment, one or the other. You can't be in both. You're either in the ark or you're in the floodwaters, one or the other. And if you're in the ark, he takes the judgment for you. All right, so it says here, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Death and resurrection into newness of life. This is what Jesus called being born from above or being born again. Let's look at that for a minute. When Jesus had a conversation with a man named Nicodemus in John 3, about being born from above, he was surprised that Nicodemus did not understand the concept. Although the Bible does not explain to us why Jesus was surprised at Nicodemus's ignorance, Judaism itself sheds light on this, because even today, the Jews have a ceremonial cleansing which involves complete immersion. What's that? That's baptism. Into a mikveh. A mikveh can be a river, a lake, an ocean, or a cistern in the ground. A requirement of a mikveh is that it must hold living water. That is, water that is moving, not stagnant, it's not still. In a mikveh, they pass through the waters symbolizing death, and when they come out on the other side, which symbolizes resurrection, they are cleansed and declared to be born from above. Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't it great how it all ties together? Another interesting note about Jesus and Nicodemus's conversation is that John specifically states that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. In those days, they had no street lights, and so any bright light outside would have been the light of the moon. The term born again is really born from above in Greek, which goes along with the idea of the new moon. The new moon is not really new, but it is renewed in the heavens. In the same way, when you are born from above, you are also renewed in the heavens. It is a spiritual or heavenly rebirth. The moon has no glory of its own. In scripture, it is symbolic of the believers who reflect the glory of the sun. That's Jesus, of course. A full moon is symbolic of the believer who has reached his full glory and brightness, completely reflecting Christ to the world instead of themselves. This is why certain biblical festivals occur on full moons. Full moon is a picture of being born again. It's the same moon, but it's renewed in the heavens. We've seen before that a man is born into the first creation through his mother's womb, becoming a son of man. When he dies, if he's in Christ, his physical tomb becomes a womb, as he steps out into eternity as a son of God. Baptism illustrates that because we are in Christ and he has already made that journey from death to life, we are already living the reality of being a new creature. In fact, something that I've read and heard that is very interesting is that there's a Hebrew word that means tomb and it also means womb. It can be translated as either tomb or womb. Your tomb should be your womb. Your tomb, death should not hold you. Death should just simply be the place that you are birthed out of into the new creation, into eternity. Unfortunately, I can't give you a reference for that at this stage. I have searched through my Strong's and I'm just not able to find it. But the concept is still true. Now for the second part of today's study. We're going to be looking at Noah, the whole story of Noah, from a literary point of view. Last week we saw how the flood in Noah's day mirrored the creation account in Genesis 1. Today we are going to look at the flood and Noah's covenant using the literary patterns or techniques embedded in Genesis 6 to Genesis 9. There is something called a chiasm or chiasm. I'm not too sure how to pronounce it, but it is spelled C-H-I-A-S-M. This is a very popular Hebrew literary technique. Chiasms are found throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. In a chiasm, concepts or ideas are placed in a special symmetric order or pattern in a mirrored structure to emphasize them. All that fancy talk is best understood by actually looking at the diagram in the notes. For example, Matthew 20 verse 16. The beginning of that verse says, "So the last will be first, and the first last." This sentence is a simple chiasm. Imagine cutting that in half. So the last will be first, and then you cut it. And the other says, "And the first last." Now, where you've just cut it, imagine you put a mirror there. And you will see that the mirror image is the second half. Remember, a mirror always turns things the other way around. Your right becomes your left becomes your right. So, So the last will be first. The mirror image is, and the first last. Last first, first last. When you break a chiasm down on paper, what you do is you put letters on the left-hand side vertically down the paper, and you use those letters to show which lines correspond to the other lines. There is a giant chiasm in the story of the flood in Genesis 6-9. It's most interesting because you will see it in the notes. It starts with Noah and it ends with Noah.